I don't mind the coffee stouts, but there is a little bit of a line for me just because I'm not a coffee drinker myself. So it's just like it can get overly heavy for me in a hurry. But there are like a handful of beers that I can think of offhand. Because there's one that one of my buddies got me recently that I did review on the show that there's so much coffee in it. I'm like, no, this feels like I'm drinking a cup of coffee, and I don't really want to do that. Like, I think that it has a nice, like, especially if you use the right type of coffee, it has a nice flavor that goes along with the stouts and the porters and that type of thing. But I always think you need to be a little more delicate with how that comes out. And hey, maybe some people like that punchy in the face kind of thing. I would assume that there are some connoisseurs out there, but definitely not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, no. See, like, if I want to, like, if I'm drinking a beer, I want a punch in the face. I want to be hops. So, give me that nice bitter, man. Like, it's hard to find now, but those old classic IPAs, oof, just
Yeah, I
love them.
feel like they're still around here, but hazy's definitely on the more on the market these days for
Oh,
sure.
absolutely. Well, yeah, even like talking like some of the people that I know, like the beer industry, which it just sounds how it sounds. There's not a market for it. So, when they first came, I was like, oh, all right, that's what that is. And then it was like, oh, hazy, juicy, and it just kind of phased out. Because, what were we talking about? Have you ever tried a Stone Enjoy-By? I love that. And I haven't seen that in a while around here anymore. So.
Yeah, it's just because consumption is low, quite honestly. I mostly just buy the local beers or wherever we've traveled to. I grab beers there and just have them at home. 'Cause I mean, I'm still I finally actually this week's show is brought to you by a growler of Grainworks Brewing. It's an IPA. That's all that my brother-in-law knows. He didn't know the name of it, doesn't know what type of IPA. It's definitely not a hazy. I would say that this is definitely more of a traditional IPA, but he also has no idea which one it is from this company, so
Well, that was nice of him.
But yeah, it is a little bit tougher to find just the straight
Yeah,
up.
it really is. They're just not made anymore.
I see a lot of, and I'm fine with it because there's that weird. I don't know what happens when you go to a double IPA. There's a funkiness of the hops that happens to me that I really enjoy quite a bit. That to me doesn't come up in the regular IPAs. So, I don't know why my palate likes the double and the triple IPAs better than just a normal IPA to start with.
See, that's another thing is like doubles aren't my favorite. Triples are. So I don't know what the deal is, but it's another thing. Just slowly, maybe it's just, can your palate still change as you get older? I mean, do like cells, I mean, taste buds die? Because they sure shit ain't growing at this age. After all the damage that's been done, like.
I do believe that it's still. The last thing I remember hearing it was like every 7 years or something, your kind of tastes change. I don't know if that's still true or not. But yeah, there's definitely an evolution of flavor for me over the years. That didn't necessarily happen when I first got into it. Because I definitely got in. Like, I mean, I remember how much going to the Guinness factory when I went over to Dublin, Ireland. Like, that's how much I liked Guinness even back when we were in college. So I was always into the darker beers to start things off. And
See, I'm trying to remember. Did we ever have Guinness when we were in school? I mean, I'm sure you did. I don't remember ever having one.
oh yeah, 'cause there was one where my buddy an old roommate Mark, 'cause I think at that point we were ex-roommates, but we did sat at Ray's and had like four pitchers of Guinness or something like that.
Oh, Jesus.
But because, that's another one where since it's only like 5% or something like that,
Yeah.
like it really isn't that bad. And we were there for quite a while, and of course we drove home,
Well, yeah, whatever. By the
but
way, I don't know what I was doing. Oh, I was having a conversation about this. Do you remember the Venice?
oh yes,
Okay.
Mama Venice.
I'm a Venice. That's exactly what we were talking about. Well, apparently now it's a music club. I think it's still called the Venice something or other. But
Oh,
it's still
okay.
there, but it's like live music now.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not making this up, but I just know to confirm it. Were you there the night? We can use real names. No one knows who we're talking about. Were you there the night Wayne was just bombed out of his mind, yelling he was gonna fuck Mama Venice in the ass?
I am familiar with the story. I do not believe I was there during this story.
Okay. As long as you're familiar with the story, that means it's true. So that's fine.
Yep, I would not have recalled that on my own. But also, I mean, you two hung out more than I did anyway, so I mean,
Yeah,
it makes
that's true.
sense that I probably would have heard the story and not necessarily been there.
I think that's when we lived in the house. And he ended up at the bottom of the stairs underneath the end table, sleeping, if I remember right.
Oh,
He passed out under that. I think we did run into you that night. That was the night that we got free pizza from Papa John's, because we knew the delivery guy. So we gave him beer, and he gave us like somebody else's pizza as well.
oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Back when Papa John's was the shit, by the way. Not shit like it is now. So,
I haven't had Papa John's in quite some time.
okay, so during the NFL season last year, they well no Little Caesars is the sponsor now, but for some reason I was like, we haven't had a Papa John's pizza, and I'm talking 8, 9 years. Let's give it a shot. I can honestly say, don't give it a shot. It was awful, and I tend to exaggerate sometimes. I'm not exaggerating. It was terrible. We open the box, I'm like, this is not anywhere close to the TV, which I know is also a cliche, but it's just rude. It was terrible. I'm like, how do you mess up? How do you mess it up? But it's easy.
yeah, well, that was one where I'm like, the garlic sauce was the big draw for me.
Yeah. Garlic butter saw.
Yep, and once that became like, I'm like, oh, they offer this stuff everywhere? Well, you've lost your appeal here, guys. If I can
Oh
find
yeah.
this at more pizza locations, I am not coming here for your pizza necessarily.
No. And then we discovered, I can't remember what that pizza joint was, but they had the chicken and JoJo's as well. Yes, those chicken and JoJo's. Another drinking story. Okay, that's a story I should be ashamed of. I'm not. I thought that was hilarious.
What it the are you talking about the dollar pizza place that was down there on Water Street?
No, it was across. All right, it was right near Apple's where I used to work. There was a Brun, not Bruno's, Papa
Oh,
Joe's or something like that.
yeah.
But they had that chicken and JoJo's that was insane. It was so good. I just remember ordering that all the time. Oh, Bruno's was next to where I used to work. I can't remember
Yep.
where the hell the other place was. But anyways, no, that was when we that was that Valentine's Day where we
The Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Oh, that was a fun Valentine's Day. That was that's on the list of memorable ones.
Yeah, if all these years later, I can remember so many. I was that bombed, and I remember almost every detail of that still. Probably not every detail, by the way, but the important ones. Like crashing that. There's nothing like crashing an all-female, all-gay Valentine's party. I mean, blind drunk.
From
and your girlfriend just looking at you with utter disappointment when you walk through the door.
Yeah, just on top of it, I mean, there is drunk and there's malt liquor drunk.
Oh, dude, that was oof.
Yeah.
Just, we were 5 minutes and I was thrown up in the sink. Well, oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to throw up the sink. I shouldn't be laughing. I should be like, oh man, that was terrible. Yeah. I can't believe I did that. I don't care. It was hilarious then, and it's hilarious now. Just like the contrast of stuff. We all just show up, and of course, I'm already loud as it is, and I'm just bombed. They're sitting around, candles lit. It's kind of dark in there. They've got like the music playing, and we just barge in after watching wrestling and drinking for hours. Like,
well,
then you guys went out, I think.
Well, yeah, you kind of wrecked the mood, and we were not feeling very welcome at that point.
No.
So we decided that the best thing to do was to just move along. And stop bringing the place down.
Yeah. And then I drove home. That was smart. Jesus. Fucking stupid. Boy, to put a damper on that story, that was the one. Like, that's one of the ones I regret most. Like, I am very happily shocked and dumbfounded. Nothing bad happened. I remember leaving. You weren't allowed to take a left out of Eric's place. And I did anyways. And I realized I'm not supposed to take a left. So I started going left, swerved back out of the road, and just kept going left anyways.
Well, and, yeah, that's probably the right choice in the long run.
Yeah, and she goes, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine. I mean, we only live 4 minutes from the place. But it doesn't matter. Like, that was ridiculous.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous.
That was enough time. Well, and with that intersection, if I recall correctly, was a fairly large one.
Yes, two of them actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can understand why there is no no left policy out of that complex. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, talk about damper. Like, just the high of like how stupid that was, and then. Of like showing up at that party like that, was that the night I was blasted and we were playing foosball?
My fifth year, so okay. Yeah, we probably were playing that because roommate Jason got that for Christmas. Okay. I want to say that year, yes. His girlfriend was soon tired of the gift that she gave him about 3 days later.
When did he take the foosballs, like the actual balls, away? Remember he did that to us?
And we stole them from Ray's.
The look on his face when we came back was lame. I was like, do you think that's going to stop us? I mean, come on.
Both of them sorely underestimated our want to play foosball at that time in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That was all we did. Well, for me, that's all we did. Go to Ray's and try and run the table.
Yeah. Yeah, we're fairly successful at it until the couple of real ringers came along. That was about it.
Yeah. And you go, oh, I'm not that good. I mean, you don't see the ball go into the back, like into the net, I guess, hole, whatever. You just hear the sound, and sometimes it would barely be a sound because it was already in the cup so fast. You're like, oh my God. Yeah. So, and that's the same street that we watch wrestling on. See, I can get to wrestling here soon. So. Yeah, but I was looking at that, real quick. The Venice is still there. Ray's is still there.
Oh.
What's the other bar that was at the top that had the pizza? They'd sell the pizza slices?
Pizza?
The Lodge?
No. Oh.
That place.
Yeah, not sure. Because, I know that some of them... No, Ray's isn't in a different location.
Oh.
Panini's is in a different location. That's what it is. Okay. Because it's not at the old location where I worked.
Yeah. I can't remember, but that was where I met Drew Carey when he was a huge deal. So,
I didn't actually meet him at Ray's. He was there two or three times when I was at Ray's, because he was there for the when they were in the Elite Eight.
Oh wow! I don't know.
So
that.
We were up
there for homecoming.
We were upstairs, and he was downstairs in the main level. So I didn't actually meet him, but he was there. And then I think there was a St. Patrick's Day or something that he was there when we were there. But I was probably blotto, so I wasn't too concerned.
I'm trying to figure out the name of the bar. It's actually a famous one. That's the whole thing. The Loft, that was it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Loft. That's right. So, but yeah. I know. So, I guess I could ask you off here, but are you getting Forbidden Door Sunday?
Yeah, I still really want to see Danielson and Okada.
Yeah.
And
is that I know we're getting Omega and...
Osprey. Oh,
thank you. I had Zack Sabre Jr. in mind for some reason. And then we got Zack Sabre and then Orange Cassidy as well, right?
That's a four-way match.
Oh, that's right.
Because it's with Shibata and who was the... Oh, Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, which... Okay. And then...
yeah, which one of these does not belong? And... I know that the online opinion of Mr. Garcia is still somewhat high, but it's just no, you don't really look like you belong in this group right now, pal.
No, he really doesn't. But Zack Sabre Jr. has put on some weight, right?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Both him and Will Ospreay. Well, Will Ospreay has just turned into a goddamn gorilla. And...
Yeah, well, he needs to. seriously, he's got to protect himself. Well, he wrestles.
He's been one of those guys, though, that's really pivoted to a more grounded style. I know that he still pulls some stuff out, but he's really more of a mat wrestler these days than he lets on.
Yeah, and I think that's better for him, and for longevity purposes, got to.
Yeah,
he's been out how many times with a neck injury already?
So, yeah, it kind of made sense at some point. That's one where even Danielson, you can still tell that he does his offense differently than when he was originally doing it on the Daniel Bryan run. To protect himself a little bit more. So,
sorry, I accidentally hit mute.
<I'll> just...
yeah.
So, it makes sense for Ospreay to do something similar. He has a better, bigger body frame to add the muscle that maybe Danielson couldn't really.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre was the same way. He's still pretty lanky. He's definitely bulked up some, though.
Oh, yeah. He looked different. It's funny. We both agree, or both admit, our New Japan has kind of slipped.
Oh, right.
So, to see him, I was like, oh, it almost like my first, my initial reaction was, but he got fat. And, because, he was always very lanky. So now it seems like, oh, never mind. It's actually, you know, pretty proportionate, just bulked up. Like, good.
Yeah.
You know, it can only help you. So, no, I was curious if you were getting it, because I didn't think AEW did a very good job of selling it this week.
The main event is the biggest draw still for me. I will definitely say that. Like, a lot of the... like, I was still shocked, you know, kind of talking about the brushing up on New Japan. And I think we talked about it before. When Sonata came on, I was just like, oh my God, who is this dude?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this was one of my favorite. Like, when we were following, I was really hoping that he would be a main event guy. So I am happy that he is there now. But, I was also shocked by his look, and I'm trying to think of who he's facing, because like that's one of those matches. It's just like, oh, okay, whatever. Is he facing Jungle Boy? Yeah, he's facing Jungle Boy.
And Sonata even had like an interview. I'm guessing this is kayfabe. I hope so. He's like, I've never heard of Jack Perry, but it is an open challenge, so I have to take whoever accepts. But it's like, I'm not that excited for it. It's like, Jesus, nice way to sell in the match, which I guess is like, you know, Jungle Boy is obviously not going to win, but at least it'll be close, and that'll be like the respect is earned thing, I guess.
I would
assume what happened.
That's one where it kind of, the hype hasn't been good, but I will be completely unsurprised if I enjoy that match quite a bit.
Because
I do like Jungle Boy as a wrestler. His character still kind of needs something in there.
Well, yeah. It's just, this Forbidden Door thing's just coming out of the blue. You know? I mean, it's, Jungle Boy's in a tag team right now with Hook. MJF is in a feud with Adam Cole, but he's going to take on Tanahashi.
Who also weirdly has a match the night before on Collision. Like, yeah. I guess I understand you're getting more bang for your buck, but I guess you're really setting him up to either look really good or just have someone say, oh, MJF beat someone who was tired.
Oh, there's that. If he gets beat down. When is Collision? Is it going to be Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I got confused by that.
In Toronto. Because I believe Dynamite is taped this week. Or...
Oh, you mean Rampage.
Or Rampage, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think so.
But I do believe that they're running the Saturday night show, or the Collision show in Toronto there also. Is what my brain is telling me currently, which makes sense. Like,
actual match card for this thing,
back to back days in a location. You know, it just makes logistical sense.
Right. Oh yeah. So of course.
There's definitely enough wrestling fans, no matter brand, that you can draw enough in whatever venue you choose. Because yeah, I mean, they're not. Is that a Scotiabank Arena? I'm trying to think of what Toronto's arena is, but whatever. The Maple Leafs
Maple
Arena.
Leaf Gardens,
but yeah.
Cesspool, whatever it is. So. All right, so I finally found the actual... The
full card.
Yeah. And, so, I mean, because some of this is just thrown on here. Which is the weird thing to me, because it's... You've had all this time, and up until yesterday, they only had three matches. And now all of a sudden, there's 10 matches. One's going to be on like the pre-show, the 0 hour thing. So out of the blue, six just get added. Well, I guess the international championship, I guess that would have made four, actually. So I take that back. Well, like MJF Tanahashi was made on Wednesday. CM Punk and Kojima was just added Wednesday. The Women's Championship match for AEW's title, Toni Storm and Willow Nightingale. just added. The Blackpool Combat Club thing, just added. Sting and Darby, just added. The Owen Cup with Athena and Billy Starks, which is going to be on the pre-show, just added. It's like, were they betting on Danielson and Okada carrying this thing? And then Omega and Ospreay as well?
The funny thing is I know that Ospreay had the interview this week. I don't feel like Kenny Omega has concentrated on that at all.
No. Well, I mean, they have this, all this goofy stuff where they're not going to be there, CM Punk's there, and all this stuff. It's like, they had the go-home show last week when Ospreay showed up and attacks Omega, and this week they're just talking backstage about a tag team match that, well, you know, Kenny's got Ospreay, so we got to find somebody else. Like, this is kind of a weird build. You know? Like, okay. Yeah. Like, is anyone interested in this? Like, this is... But...
It was really hard. Like you said, like, almost more than half the matches were officially made on Wednesday for a pay-per-view that is happening on Sunday. It's kind of strange. And they're just, yeah, the Sonata stuff, even if it happened, I have no idea what's going on, you know, from an AEW perspective. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like Jack Perry's been on TV talking about it at all.
No.
And they definitely haven't shown any Sonata press conference blowing it off to make it feel more kayfabe.
Yeah. And, like, I'm sorry. And this is Shahid's fault for this. Tanahashi should not be cutting promos in English. We have something called subtitles. Let him speak Japanese and put the goddamn subtitles up. It's not his fault he doesn't speak English, you know. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, he is a Japanese person who only speaks Japanese and did not right. learn English. Like, that's cool, yeah. man. Like, yeah. Like you said, and I mean, I think we've been pretty consistent about it. When Asuka cuts a promo in Japanese, it's just like, yep, I got it. Check.
Mm-hmm. Even now, like, okay, I understand what WWE does is the next day they'll put subtitles under it. Like, you go to your social media. It's like, all right, that's pretty smart.
Yes.
But
this was a pre-taped promo that, yeah, should have just had subtitles.
Yeah. I mean, unless he insists on talking, you know, speaking English, I don't know. I don't know if that's like a respect thing or not, but it's okay. Like, especially this AEW audience. If it was WWE, maybe it's different. But as you just said with Asuka, it's great. And her and Io Sky, you know?
Oh, but yes.
But it's like, that promo didn't do anything to sell this match. Just because of how awkward it was. And it's like, do any of the New Japan guys actually dress up outside of Sonata? Because he was wearing a suit. I mean, Tanahashi's in a t-shirt.
No,
Okada
even,
comes out.
Yeah, even Okada, who normally is a bit more of a sharp dresser. Not sharp dressing this time around. He came out in his finest rock wear. You know, rock workout gear. Did you mute yourself again?
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm here. No, okay. This isn't. Yeah.
Trying to
be a better listener.
Because I'm trying to think of... no one else really dressed up. But of course, I mean, a lot of them were just out there in ring gear anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel like they put Zack Sabre Jr. in a real backstage segment. They've had him wrestle twice, I think. But he hasn't really been in a segment where it would make sense for him to be dressed up. Like, I feel like they might have interviewed him after a match or something like that. It's just like, yeah, sweaty wrestler interview. Like, that's what it should be, you know? Like, he should not be dressed up for that interview.
No, I don't know. It just seemed like, here are these bums from Japan. You know, I mean, and I, you know, I've admitted I don't understand Minoru Suzuki's appeal at all. Like, maybe when he was younger, but now it just looks like some old dude with a weird haircut that doesn't really do anything. You know what I mean? Like, they're hitting each other. Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, you've... guys twice his size have to sell like he's the hardest hitting guy ever. And it's just like, oof. Like, I don't know about this right now, guys. Like, it's, no, he just is getting, and it's fine. Like, it's age. Like, he's old. Like, I didn't want Ric Flair doing this. I don't think he's quite Ric Flair. Like, I need to look up the. How old he is. 55.
Oh, he's 55. I did not know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, because it's, I mean, that's one of the other things, like, even though, because Jericho's got to be right around that age, too, because he's in Suzuki's Wikipedia picture, which is hilarious.
Yeah, Jericho's 50 now.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, it's only 5 years, so yeah, I mean, that's...
52.
Oh, he's 52. Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, because he's kind of getting to that point where I'm just like, okay, you know, you're just starting to lose it a little bit, and that's fine, because age.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm not going to get mad at you because you got old.
Yeah, but it just makes it, the attacks on someone half your age and, like, twice your size, it's just like, you know, I know how this would really go, guys.
Yeah,
my suspension is hard to put aside currently.
Yeah, like I can't remember which top flight is it? Which one's hurt? Darius is hurt.
I'd have to look up the results here to see which.
Okay, well, whoever was fighting with Suzuki, I actually enjoyed the interaction because it was like
Darius was the one in the match.
Okay, all right, that's what I thought. And who got hurt then? Oh my god!
It's also a D, and I am not remembering it.
Dante.
No. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Duh. So no, I enjoyed that interaction because you're like, all right, come on. He hits Suzuki. Suzuki just blasts him. It's like, oh okay. But it's still for me, just like, I'm sure he hits hard. That's not the point. But it's like, this is just kind of dumb. And it was the same thing with, like, him and Joe were smacking each other months ago. I'm like, this is kind of dumb. You guys stand there chopping each other? Like, all right.
Yeah, that has long been a little bit of a pet peeve at this point. Because there's very few times, even in the UFC, despite me not watching it much, there are just not many times where people just continually trade bombs with each other. Does it happen every now and again? Sure. But with New Japan, it feels like it happens every match. And it's just like, okay, I'm getting a little bit tired of this. Like, I don't need everyone to sit down in a chair and exchange forearms.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, okay, guys, like, this is kind of getting overdone here now. And yeah, that's definitely one of those things that, the tough guy act in New Japan is always a little, it always feels a little off to me. Because they just do, to me, they do a lot of no-selling.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, but it's just for whatever reason, it's a more acceptable version of no-selling.
I guess it's just like that's like part of their wrestling culture, I guess. I don't know. I don't pretend to know a lot about Japanese wrestling. So,
I definitely guess not an expert, but yeah. It seems more acceptable, I would say, even from an American perspective of, you know, people who do watch it over there. I don't feel like it's ever been adequately explained in my books.
Well, a lot doesn't get adequately explained. So, you know, that's also like that's just.
Yeah, it's just enjoy it or don't, and enjoyed it for a while. But that, yeah, that's definitely one of those things that I don't feel like that trope's gone away at all. Because I mean, we're also supposed to think that Tomohiro Ishii is not looking like he's also very old. Like, I mean, I feel like it's kind of been a while now since we jumped into New Japan. Like, I feel like it was like a decade ago at this point.
It really does.
And it's just like, oh, like, Ishii still was kind of, you know, maybe getting old, but you're like, oh, okay, whatever. The 40-year-old can hang in there. Now it's, you know, again, we're kind of going like, oh, yeah, the 50-year-old, huh? He's the super tough guy. Okay. Yep.
One question: is Naito hurt? Why is he not on this?
I do not know. Did he not make the previous one either? I feel like I haven't seen him at either any of them.
I'm looking it up. I wasn't sure if you would know offhand or not.
No. No. Again, have not paid attention to New Japan at all. So, I don't know what Naito is up to these days.
Doesn't show him hurt.
Is he no longer employed with them? Because, I mean, I do occasionally forget that, what's his name?
He just wrestled for him.
Huh?
June 14th.
Oh, okay. Who am I thinking of? Is it... No, it's not Kenta.
Kota Ibushi.
Ibushi, yeah.
Well, that's a weird cycle of stuff that he went crazy and started talking shit about New Japan and then said, I think his contract's up, which is weird because didn't he say he signed a lifetime contract or something?
Yeah, so, there's been a lot of weirdness going on there.
Yeah. But, and it was, I expected, like, for this whole Blackpool Combat Club feud with the Elite, that Kota Ibushi was going to be the one that was going to come back and help him. Hangman Page said he wasn't in Canada. He wasn't here, but he wasn't in Canada. So it's like, all right, kind of laying that foundation, but who knows? And really, like, with Ibushi's mental state and also physical state, I mean, how much longer has he got? That dude falls on his neck going to the store. You know, just for the hell of it. Doesn't even need to. Just says, oh, watch what I can do. So,
He got himself in more than enough compromising positions. That is for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny, not seeing New Japan for a long time. I don't really miss, like, seeing some of the people, too. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not. It doesn't mean I'm not a wrestling fan. Shit, I watch Impact. I'm watching fucking AAA all the time now. So I don't want to hear that. But
yeah, their schedule is really weird just because I feel like it comes in spurts. Like, they kind of do their events kind of close together sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And then they coast for a little bit of time. Their pacing...
It seems like.
Yeah, their pacing just always seems a little off to me.
Yeah, unless it's just what they do. You know, we're so used to now once-a-month pay-per-views. So you only have, like, the one... Like, we have Monday night, Friday night pay-per-view. Monday night, Friday night pay-per-view. Now you can add in Tuesday nights and then Saturdays, or what, you know, Sundays now. Strangely, NXT's taking over Sundays. Okay. So.
They do tend to end those ones a little bit earlier, so I will give them that as not as bad of an idea.
Your talent pool's not that deep either. So it's like, all right, makes sense. But. Yeah, no, AEW this week, though, I just didn't think it served Forbidden Door well. And then just some of the stuff that was on there. I know I texted you, and I didn't want to ruin it, but that concession stand brawl was bullshit. God damn. I mean, is this, I hope this is the end of it. I can't take much more of this stuff. No more Jarrett. No more Sanjay Dutt. What's the big guy's name? I don't care. No more
Satnam Singh.
Don't care. Bye. You may have been, I guess, was he a good basketball player? If he's already wrestling? I don't know.
Yeah, I have not checked to see how long his career lasted.
We don't need a less muscular, smaller Great Khali. We don't. So let's just piss off with this. Let Jay Lethal go back to Ring of Honor where he should be. And then we're all good. You know? And then figure out what you want to do with Mark Briscoe. Papa Briscoe can stay at home. You know, cool. No need to be risking his health. Then we can just move on, and everyone's happy. You know, let Jarrett go back to booking venues and travel schedules, whatever he's doing. That's fine. It shouldn't be taking up TV time. I jumped the gun, but also I'm just gonna say it anyways. No more Matt Hardy. That poor guy. It's painful to watch him move. That poor dude has put his body through so much.
And his bow-leggedness does not help his agility in any way, shape, or form either.
No.
So, yeah, the combination of those two items is made for a very, very creaky wrestler. And evidently, just because Jeff Hardy's had so much time off, his body is not nearly as bad, despite his numerous high-risk maneuvers.
Yeah,
as bad off, maybe I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is not supposed to sound this way, but being sober is going to be the real tell. Now, hopefully Tony Khan's smart enough to not have him wrestling every week. You know, either one of them, actually. So Jeff's not on the road. You know, but I guess it can happen anywhere. You know, relapses can happen anywhere. It's like, do everything you can to prevent, you know, putting him in situations where this can happen again. And especially with Matt, it's like, you don't want him taking bumps. Good God, his poor hips. He was always kind of bow-legged anyways, but now, good Lord.
Yeah.
It's just, it's uncomfortable. And, like, that's how this show started. The Gun Club, and they run in. Luckily, CM Punk arrives to save the day in the segment. And then didn't we go straight into the concession stand match? Like, we didn't even get a commercial break.
Yeah, I started when I was watching this. I started to fast forward, and I'm just like, "Hold on, am I missing the concession stand match?" Like, and I had to rewind it because I'm like, "Oh yeah, there were no commercials in here. Like, they acted like they were going to commercial, and then they cut right to them backstage in the in the venue hallway."
Yeah, and then with the stupid ass introduction.
They've got to do a proper introduction before they can start the concession fight. But hey, you know what? We'll let every other person ambush someone coming down to the ring, and we're completely okay by this.
My favorite part of it was, I think it was Bryce Remsburg was the referee. He's in between them, and they're just trying to get at each other. He's like, hey, hold on, hold on. It's like, all right, Jeff Jarrett, you ready? And I'm like, are we really doing this? And then he goes, ladies, are you ready? And I don't know if it was Excalibur or Taz, but ladies? Like, okay. And I'm like, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
And then they just immediately start hitting each other with stuff. And I'm like,
oh. Hitting each other with popcorn? It's just like,
yeah, and then like a pack of buns. Like, it's like, at least was it mustard or ketchup when he got in Mark's eyes? And he used, like, the one lady handed him water. That was weird. And then, of course, Karen's there. Of course, Sanjay Dutt's there. I'm like, I don't want any of these people on TV ever again. I don't. It's not entertaining. And again, with the way their ratings are, and I don't want to hear any excuses, this is the kind of garbage that the casual fan doesn't want to see. I mean, it's a it's a clown show. That segment is a clown show. The whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and even the next segment with the guns still are lacking. Like, have they had one legitimate win over FTR? Is that it, really? Without some type of shenanigan going on?
The guns? No. I think even the FTR, that was some sort of shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I still do not feel like I have any reason to believe in those two clowns. You know, just from they have not. Like, yeah, you can fake your win loss record in some situations like that, but yeah, I'm not buying it from them in the least bit.
Okay, at one point, did you think they were going to stop Jay White and Juice Robinson? The way they kept looking around as they were beating down the Hardys?
No.
Didn't it seem like it was supposed to be a turn or something? Like, it was just weird the way they were standing there. Like, you're doing this. Like,
yeah, you either join in or you take off.
Right. And so I was like, okay. And then they helped him. I was like, oh, okay. Well.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, I have. It almost seemed like the guns for that match was supposed to be like a proving match, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they passed because the Hardy name carries a lot of weight, but the Hardys themselves don't. So, you know, like, FTR would have been better, like a better served feud if, you know, FTR, and it was never designed for this, but if FTR would have sold more and made it more even to, like, kind of elevate the guns, but it's just not, and it's really, can you elevate those guys?
They still have not, to me, like, I need to see them in a couple of squash matches. I need to see them beat someone else. Like, I don't know what tag team, like, have them beat the Dark Order. I don't care. Like, there's got to be someone, you have enough people on the roster to have them beat even a couple of makeshift teams.
Yeah. There's plenty of people to beat, although not Fuego del Sol. He's gone now, but I don't know. It's perplexing why they're still on, even though Billy Gunn is clearly, like, really loved there. So I guess that's it. But it's like, it's also like, that's such a rude thing to think and say. But if it's the truth, well, how else do you keep having them on TV, let alone beating your hottest act, those guys, yeah. And then...
those guys who are with Billy Gunn now?
Yeah. I still think that's unforgivable, but whatever.
I am trying to remember the last time I saw a pair of scissors now, and it's at least been a month, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. They came out on Collision and
said they're going to be on Dynamite.
It's like the pop was there, but it wasn't what it used to be.
No.
So, you know, it's a great way to ruin the momentum of people because they were hot. They were homegrown act too. And they seem like, you know, the whole everyone loves the Acclaim. Well, that certainly seemed to be the case.
Yeah.
And you just went, nah. And it was like, oh, well, the obvious thing is that they're going to win it. But no. No. They're not.
No, they're going after the trios titles for Billy Gunn.
Yeah. Sure.
To honor his legacy as a trios champion.
Yeah. But yeah, like the rest of the show, just whatever, really. I don't know. It just, of all the shows, it wasn't terrible, but it really was just like, whatever, I watched it.
Yeah, because I'm kind of looking through. The match that led to the four-way Atlantic Championship or International Championship match is probably one of the better matches, honestly. But
yeah.
Chris Statlander quickly coming up on more title defenses on Dynamite than Jade Cargill had in an entire year. She is trying really, really hard to beat that total in approximately 3 months.
Yeah, it's like, I feel bad for Jade because she just got such a raw deal. She got a raw deal as this undefeated champion. They buried her on Rampage. Buried it down a Rampage, and her matches, like, again, we talked about before, are way too long for someone still learning. They shouldn't be this long, but whatever. Anyways, but yeah, like Statlander, I don't know. I guess, is that going to be a Dynamite title now because they're on TBS and the TNT title is going to be on Collision because they're on TNT, which, you know, kind of totally makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm going to assume that they're going to kind of be on both shows if necessary. Because at least for this week, they've definitely shown a lot of crossover between Collision and Dynamite. Soft roster split, maybe, I suppose.
Well, I think the only, like, permanent ones are the Elite and CM Punk, right? Isn't that what the rumor is? They can't even be in the building together, which is kind of weird because they're all going to be in the building on Sunday.
Yeah, I guess everyone's just going to have to play nice in their corners of the arena. Although that still doesn't make any sense because there's really only two locker rooms in any arena.
It's like, all right. Well, it always seems like they make offices for people. So, you know, that'll just be what they do. You know?
Yeah, someone gets the janitor's closet.
Yeah. Oh, we had our interaction with Sting and Jericho, the match no one really asked for.
60-some year old and a 52 year old. Great.
Yeah, I just went, okay, cool. Let's just, and all right, and was there any explanation for why Jericho and Sammy Guevara were just fine this week?
They mentioned Sammy Guevara falling in line at least for this week. So I don't know if that means they're teasing that it's not going to continue to happen or if he's truly fallen back in line here.
Jesus Christ. Knowing this company, he's probably fallen back in line. I mean, unless they're going to try and get, and be dead serious, unless they're going to try and get a Jericho Sting single match. Oh, boy. No. Just no. Where Sting can no sell everything Jericho has. And then the crowd will go crazy for it. Just stupid.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of like what else was on the show, and
yeah, that was some
stuff.
Yeah, that was about it, honestly, because the main event was the Blackpool Combat Club stuff that we kind of already covered, really. Because the whatever match is whatever the big was it 5-on-5 or 4-on-4 match, like.
Forget already.
Yeah, the outcome does not matter.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, it was Kingston announced that his, what was it? Who was their partner?
That was the Ishii.
That's right. And then, oh, that's right. Sting and Darby didn't say who their partner was yet.
No, right. They're announcing that on
maybe
Collision.
Maybe that'll be Naito.
That could be Naito.
All right, because it just seems kind of silly if you're having this pay-per-view to not have him on it. So, unless he doesn't want me on it. Because, like, Kenta was the one. I mean, the rumored match was supposed to be CM Punk and Kenta.
Right. GTS and, battle.
Yeah, and I guess Kenta was like, no, he didn't want to lose. I mean, it's like, well, you're over here. Of course you're going to lose. Just send CM Punk over there and he can lose back. That's fine.
Yeah. We're one and one and we don't need to have a rubber match. Like, works for everyone here.
Yeah. All right. Jesus. It doesn't seem that hard, but...
yeah, don't overcomplicate this.
Yeah. So... Yeah, man. I don't know. It's... You know, everyone's making an excuse for, like... You know, AEW's ratings, and let me see if they've got the new ones out yet.
Because
apparently NXT did an insane number with Seth Rollins being on. They did almost 1 million viewers for Braun and Seth Rollins.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's
good for
pretty
them.
Nuts.
Good for them. Yeah, I mean... That was quite the main event to have for night one of Gold Rush there on NXT.
Yeah. I'm not seeing anything.
So.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but, I don't really care. Yeah. We just moved to NXT.
That's fine. But yeah, but NXT, well, so I was looking to see that rating too. But yeah, like NXT was fine. Another just fine show. Like, so to go out of order, Andre Chase is coming back, right?
It is increasingly weird what's going on there.
Yeah.
Because they definitely keep on making allusions to him. And, like, every week I'm like, oh, this is the week he's going to pop back up. And it's just like, no. Because especially, I feel like the last 3 or 4 weeks, they have really invoked his name more than they did. You know, like, I feel like there's a month where they kind of stayed silent about things. But it does not feel like they've been silent about things recently.
Yeah, and the way they just keep saying, I'm like, oh, he's got to come back. But I'm also trying to figure out where does he come back and what does he come back to? Like, it's very weird how this has moved on to Duke being the guy in charge. And then you've got the two, just like, the two bad teachers. Like, yeah. Slytherin, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
But then even those two are starting to get, like, a softer side.
With
Thea Hale. Yep. And she's the one getting the darker edge. And it's like, this is weird.
It's a really bizarre setup that I think is helping everyone involved.
Yeah.
You know, just because I don't know how often we talk about it. I mean, to me, even this is one of the problems that I have with the Guns. I have no idea what that character is.
You talking about Charlie Dempsey?
No. Like we were just talking about the Guns on AEW.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have any real personality. Like, this is giving Thea Hale a personality. It's giving Charlie Dempsey, and even though, you know, they're playing the straight man, or straight men, I guess, in this situation, off of Thea Hale's, like, super hyperness, like, it's giving them, like, kind of a line in the sand that's kind of helping to define them. And I think that that's kind of nice character. I don't know if you call it development, but I mean, it's at least informing me how this character acts in different situations.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. Yeah. Cause I knew nothing about Charlie Dempsey other than he was just the guy that made faces. And through this, at least, you're starting to see, like, well, he is kind of a badass, but then, you know, Thea Hale's growing on him. It's like, all right, yeah. And then Drew Gulak, you know, he's been the same for a while.
Yeah, well, and like you said, like, it's kind of fun that they're just being presented as, yeah, like in some weird 80s movie that, like, they're the bad teachers and they're...
Yeah.
I guess Andre Chase could come back as the good guy teacher if they really kind of wanted to continue this, but... Yeah, like, he's in a weird, weird spot. Like, this... He's been away long enough but that they really did need to do something with this storyline, and it's... yeah, it's moving along. Because, yeah, like, Duke even seems bought into the university itself. Like, it still felt like there might be a chance that he would turn on the university, but it would be really awkward to me now if they did like, that.
And not in a way like, oh, man, he turned. You'd be like, oh, man, he turned? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you know.
Yeah, why is he worried about Thea Hale and what Dempsey and Gulak are doing to her if he hasn't truly turned a leaf? Because even with the MVP stuff, you're like, okay, they're definitely still leaving this door open a little bit here. And now it's just like, yeah, the MVP stuff is there, but yeah, he cares way too much about Thea Hale's well-being for them to just, like, have him turn back.
It really does, and that's why I'm wondering if Andre Chase comes back, if he's going to be, like, the dickhead schoolmaster now. Like, what the hell is this? You pumped her up, she wasn't ready, and all this, because... Unless he's going to come back as, like, a hardened edge because he was too soft before.
No,
and, like,
yeah.
The teachings of Gulak and Dempsey, whatever. Like, oh, you're right. I was too, like, just something. It's such a weird thing to be invested in this story like this because it doesn't even get a lot of time on TV now. Like, this week, I guess it got a little bit more. And no one believes she's going to beat Tiffany Stratton, by the way.
No, but I do, like, I mean, just because, again, like, on that ridiculousness scale that NXT is working on, I loved the idea of a pep rally for them is a segment. I thought it was a good forum for everything to go down in. It was, you know, pretty standard wrestling fare, quite honestly. Yeah. But, you know... Yeah, just kind of fit it into the gimmick that you're presenting them with.
Yeah, and so we talked about this a little last week, and the tag team situation in this company is kind of goofy. So I don't even know where to begin because everything's kind of intertwined now, and not a whole lot of it makes sense.
Oh.
Gallus are the tag team champions. Stax and Tony D were supposed to have a match. Tony D's in jail. Stax kidnaps Joe Coffey, right?
Yes.
And then
this week
Vic Joseph goes, looks like Stax's plan's falling into place. Goes to commercial. I'm like, shouldn't you be appalled? He just kidnapped him. Anyways. Then we have a 3-way match with Hank and Tank, Brooks and Jensen, and then Anofe, and I forgot the other guy's
name. Blade.
Thank you, Malik Blade.
Yep.
Who both of them now look like legitimate action figures. So that's pretty impressive.
Those gentlemen are ripped.
Yeah, Anofe and Blade win. Backstage, Los Lotharios come up to Gallus and go, we want to challenge you for those titles. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? Hey, you weren't in the match that just happened. I think even Wolfgang maybe said that.
Yeah, they led with the, if we would have been in that match, it would have been us facing you.
Yeah,
and they're like, well, you weren't in the match. Like, and like you said, they're like, fuck off. Like get out of here.
Yeah. And they're right. I don't know who's the bad guys here. Gallus hasn't done anything wrong. If he you really think about this, what have they done wrong except win matches?
The only time was it against the Creeds there that when Joe Coffey came back?
True.
That was the big that well, I mean, that was the biggest heel moment that they've had. Other than that, you're right. Like, they've just been ass kickers for the most part.
Yep. Yeah. And then Tony D gets put in jail and they're blaming them. Well, don't do bad shit. It ain't their fault. You know? Like, isn't the whole thing, like, you see something, say something now?
Well, and isn't it possible that Stax is going to go to jail now?
You'd think.
I mean,
was
he
a
did
live
just,
kidnapping.
It was another very blatant live kidnapping.
Yes, but also Blair Davenport also went over her entire scheme of taking people out.
Last week, yeah.
And she's fine. So, you know, remember, this is Fantasyland. So... Yeah, and then Lotharios will show up. They haven't even wrestled a match yet, have they?
They
beat two jobbers, right?
Yeah, they did win a squash match.
And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, we were getting a shot. Like, why?
Because they were on the big shows previously.
Yeah, it's like Charlotte Flair just coming back, automatically getting a title shot. Like, makes a lot of sense. So, so it's just like, all right. It's just so bizarre what's going on with the tag teams. Like, I'm guessing it's supposed to make the tag team title seem more important. But to me, it's just coming off like a jumbled mess.
It's one of those ones where I guess I really feel like at this point that Tony D'Angelo is injured.
And that's the only thing I can figure out.
But they're also like, hey, we want to keep his name on TV. How do we do this? So it was also like, oh, okay, like he's coming back soon then, right? Like he's going to get sprung from jail. And then they still haven't pulled the trigger at this point. It's just like, okay, this is kind of awkward now, guys. Like it's kind of getting a little long in the tooth.
Okay. How do you want this to play out?
We kind of talked about it last week. Like, Gallus is the most obvious and probably best answer to this whole thing.
Right. So, the problem, though, is maybe they planted evidence, okay? I guess you can get out of it this way. But if Joe Coffey really did rat Tony D out, that means Tony D really did something wrong. So he should be there. But if they planted evidence, then okay, you can get out. Like, my idea is Tony D escapes from jail. They go full on, break him out. And then I don't know how you have him wrestle. Maybe it's the Italian Stallion. They own that copyright.
Oh my gosh.
Stax the Italian Stallion, that'd be really funny.
Yes, him wrestling in a mask, I am here for it. And if they have Prison Break style segments, I am also
yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Here for it.
Come on, Stax, let's go. Like, come on, boss, I gotcha. And all of a sudden, like, he just connects a chain to his car and pulls the iron bars out like in every 80s, 70s, 80s movie. If you're gonna go. You know? Don't have fast stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's been at most recent an 80s gimmick.
Yeah. Or do they have a trial and all this evidence is against Tony D and they find him not guilty? And it's just, he just paid, like, you know, they paid the jury off or threatened the jury.
That would be hilarious.
I mean, that's actually, I think, a lot better than breaking out of jail. And then you just go, that's how it works. Like, just, this is fantasy land.
Yeah, but it is weird, though, that you end up having to line up these other teams for Gallus in the meantime. Plus, like, how many times do you go, like, oh, here's three different matchups that the tag team champions can get thrown into? That does not happen terribly often in the WWE. Like, we've had some tag team renaissances where that does happen, and definitely have had at least two of them over the course of Stunt Granny, I would say. So yeah, like, I don't know if we're there in a renaissance. They're certainly trying to make it happen on NXT. I guess I always supposed I was okay with Garza and Humberto Carrillo there. But yeah, I guess I kind of understand why there's not room for them on the main roster.
No, there's not a lot of room for a lot of people on the roster right now. And I think like Triple H's hiring spree is kind of catching up to some. I mean,
Oh.
Candice LeRae hasn't really been on. I know Gargano came back of his own accord, but Gargano, like, they were in Cleveland. He wasn't even on the show. That was weird.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
Unless he appeared off camera, I don't know.
Yeah, well, and even with Candace, like, I feel like they had a hey, you don't really know the Poison Pixie kind of vignette. Oh, relatively recently. But I'm with you where they had that segment and then she's not been on TV like the last 2 or 3 weeks since then. So it's just like, okay, well, that backstage segment or that little video package you put together with her just went out the window.
I mean, how I was about to say, where's Indy Hartwell? But she is hurt. I forgot about that.
Yeah, legitimately hurt.
Yeah, but I guess there's a rumor going around that SummerSlam, I believe, is going to be Kevin Owens, Sami and Kevin versus Gargano and Ciampa.
That could be the best thing for both of those two, Ciampa and Gargano.
Yeah, I think that'd be really great. That could turn out to be a great match too. So,
Oh yeah, and I am 100% here for that match.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, that obviously it'll depend if Vince wants to interfere like usual, but
Well,
it's
weren't they getting called up as a tag team before Ciampa got hurt? Like,
yes.
what, 5 years ago or something like that now?
Yeah, but I think it was one of those cases. I think Triple H even said it was that Vince was like, "Give me your best guys." He's like, all right, here they are. And Vince is like, what the hell is this? And then Ciampa gets hurt. And I was like, all right, back down with you. So.
Yep, you're off the roster. Sorry, pal.
Yeah. And Ciampa's like, yeah, I am off the roster for a while. So. But it's funny. Ciampa doesn't look as out of place as Gargano does. And I hate saying that. But Ciampa, for some reason, he's not too much taller than Johnny Gargano, but he looks bigger. Like, he looks taller, obviously, like, being shredded the way he is,
Yeah, it's one of those that 1 or 2 inches that he's taller makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Like
So.
it is not a major difference, as you rightly point out, but it's enough where it's just like, okay, he doesn't look as out of place going against at least the Seth Rollinses of the world.
Yeah. Oh, we kind of got away from NXT. Well, we're talking about NXT alums, but like they're just like NXT's kind of spinning their wheels as well because you got this Gold Rush thing in between, but their pay-per-view's not to the end of July. You got 5 weeks still.
Oh, yeah, this was just kind of, yeah, this is one of those situations where I kind of understood the TV special because they have more time in between their pay-per-views, so they kind of need these kind of like mini pay-per-view type situations to spice up the week-to-week product a bit. Because, yeah, I mean, there was the women's tag team match, which was kind of whatever. Cora Jade and Dana Brooke, which was kind of whatever.
What was that? I don't understand the logic in that match at all. And especially the crowd now cheering for Cora Jade. Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I was so confused during that whole thing.
Yeah, like, the entire time during the break, like, they're working on Dana Brooke. All of a sudden, she just gets going and pops off, hits her, and then remembers, oh, my leg hurts. So, I don't know. At least Cora Jade didn't pull out the kendo stick and walk slowly like a zombie with it. So that actually made me happy. It's ridiculous when she does.
And then Dana Brooke faking an injury and then not really faking an injury was part of the matchup too, where it's just like, I thought that she was gonna show her craftiness over Cora Jade, fake the injury, and still get the win, even though Cora kind of knew what was up.
Right, or at least show your, I like the craftiness line, and come and overcome. Like, yeah. Say the injury is real, and she still overcomes, like, it's sneaky pin. Or something like that, you know? Not that she wins the match, but doesn't beat her. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, win the battle, lose the war sort of thing.
Yep.
But yeah, and instead, it was just, all right, I popped up, I lost. Like, and I'm back on the stretcher, so. Okay.
So Cora Jade doesn't really get much of a win because she just beat someone who was literally stretchered off. Yeah. That was kind of weird. Definitely a weird, things are just moving along here on NXT. Trying to find ways to keep people on TV that you like.
Yeah, and then Ali as a special referee. Like, what? That was bizarre.
The fact that he went from fast count guy to kind of mucking around with them a little bit, ending the match with him just acting like a normal referee, that was quite an arc that they had going on. I don't think it led anywhere. But it was there for that match. Because the final three count was just, you know, a regular three count.
Yeah, but he also, like, woke him up and all this and sort of caused Tyler Bate to lose. And it's like, I lost. Like, as happy everyone was that, you know, Ali showed up, it's like, oh, it's still Ali. You know? Like, okay, he's fine. And that's about it. Like,
yeah, I guess I really liked his the vignettes that he did on the streets of Chicago and things like that, but it's kind of another one of those things. It's just like, man, that's a long time off now. And I do feel like they need to give him a better gimmick. And though I have definitely laughed at Positive Ali, it's also one of those kind of gimmicks that's just like, okay, that helps you get up off the mat. Now you've got to find, like, that kind of more serious character if you want to get somewhere in the upper card area. And that hasn't happened for him yet.
It's not going to. Like, yeah. I don't understand the whole thing. I don't know, man. The more we're talking about NXT, the more I'm like, this whole thing's turning into some weird freak show. And maybe it has been, and I've just been trying to gloss over it. But then I just all of a sudden got Noam Dar and his group. What are they called? The Meta?
The Metaverse.
It is Metaverse?
Meta
group? Or it's
Metaphor.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's so
bad. Yeah, because it's FOUR, like the number 4.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that just looks like another, like, what? Like, these people don't get along. You know, like any of them.
That actually I might be more on board for than the the schism stuff.
Hey, you know, old Jaeger or Jagger, whatever his name is, calling out Joe Gacy like that, and then Ava getting mad, and then like, no, he's right. And it's like, what? Like, cool, you guys gonna break up? Good, can you go back to being Grizzled Young Veterans now? Because this is bullshit. It's like, this doesn't work.
For two people that supposedly asked for their release, and I felt like their release was already coming, they are really involved in a lot of segments, quite frankly.
Yes.
For people that are supposedly not going to be there after whatever the date was this year.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. And, okay, but I'm still leaving. Like, this is crap. Give me, take away my personality for this bullshit. Yeah. Like, then, what's the other? Oh, the other thing was Gable Stevenson shows up.
Oh.
And talks about, well, yeah, I know him better than anybody. Well, why? Why is he ever, like, why is it, all this stuff makes no sense.
Because they wrestled together.
Yes. Oh,
they could have said it, they could have been a little more clear about that. They did already mention that, you know, Kemp was a Division I wrestling champ and things of that nature. So it kind of made sense, but it also felt like it was very out of the blue.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Because honestly, I'd kind of forgotten about Gable Steveson being on the roster nominally.
Well, I think he even said he's coming back for his senior year.
Good
he's
Lord.
Still in college.
I didn't realize he had another year of eligibility.
I didn't know that either. So it's like, maybe it's wrong, you know, put it that way, but it's like, another year out, and then I guess the Olympics are next year. Maybe that's why.
Oh, one He's more.
Gonna, you know, school, and then go try and get in the Olympics. You know, qualify.
Yeah, so. I would. One would imagine. So yeah, I wow, his real wrestling debut is a while off. Then, if he's really going to the next Olympics, like. He's a couple of years out then.
Yeah.
Or at least a year and a half or something like that out.
Yep. And then, unless he's going to come back and be a Kurt Angle, which is, like, you know, always the most unfair thing to say. Just because you're an Olympic wrestler.
Well, hey, as much as I love Chad Gable, that man is not any further up on the roster than he was quite a while ago.
No, but... at least he's in a spotlighted, you know, he's under a spotlight at least.
Yes.
So, it's like, all right, cool.
He definitely consistently gets TV. So, good for him.
Yeah. It's, I guess Jason Jordan got hurt, but they were breaking them up anyways. But it's like, you had Alpha Academy, break him up, Jason Jordan gets hurt. Now we're just going to build Alpha Academy. Get like, what the fuck you bring it up for in the first place? And like, I don't know. And it's weird, their faces now. Just out of the blue, their faces. Why? Because they are. Just deal with it. It's just, that's weird.
Because people started cheering for them.
No one wanted to boo Otis in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was legit. Everyone loved Otis.
Yeah, and it really helped when they started involving the Maximum Male Models. I think was the real turning point there.
Oh, honestly. For sure. Yeah.
So
you put a hot chick with him.
It is still really bizarre that Maxine is now some weird Chad Gable in the shorts, like the 80s/90s. Gym teacher look was killing me, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Thank God I never had shorts like that, but my older brother definitely did, so.
Oh, I'm sure. what else was, oh, Carmelo and Baron had their exchange. I did like Seth meeting Nathan Frazier backstage. If you knew the history, that was pretty nice.
Oh,
Nathan Frazier?
Yeah, I was just like, oh, he must have trained him. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I thought all the backstage segments with, was Seth just in those two, or was there one other one that maybe he had another interaction with someone backstage?
No, I think it was just Carmelo and Trick, and then...
and then Nathan Frazier, okay.
And I did like how he handled Trick and Mello. Just kind of like, was getting ready to blow him off. So, and then he's like, I'm just kidding with you. Goes like, oh, they're teasing this? Like, hey, slow down. So,
yeah, not really necessary. And yeah, they definitely did not push it.
No. And I enjoyed watching Seth and Braun. And I'm wondering if this is like Braun's tryout. Like, all right, Seth can go back to Triple H and be like, yeah, he's ready. Or Vince or whoever's in charge. Be like, yeah, then let's go. Let's get him up there and then figure out, find a spot for him, you know?
Yeah, it really feels like he's out of things to do, quite frankly, in NXT. Braun Breaker, that is.
Yeah, and then it's...
You can have him cook a little bit longer if you want to. Like, I don't think it's going to hurt anything. But also, if you call him up, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, but, all right, do you think the main roster is just too crowded for how much they don't diversify who gets used? I mean, the Miz has wrestled 3 weeks in a row, I think. I think? And I'm not bagging on Miz. That was just the first thing that came to mind. But it's like so many wrestlers appear in so many segments that it's not given a whole lot of leeway for somebody else.
I'm with you where they do not diversify enough.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, their roster, it needed some help, but they also, don't seem to be, giving the help.
Yeah.
In any way.
Cause where is Omos? Was he a free agent? I think so.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, well, wherever, he's gone. Somebody else hasn't been on TV in a while. Well, Edge, but he always does this.
Yeah, that was not at all a surprise.
But yeah, but no, it's like there's just people that don't get used a lot, so it's like, all right, do you really want to be brought up? I mean, a 3-hour show, everyone on your roster should be used in some capacity. Hell, they even got... Oh, no, I just lost his name. Tozawa. They even got Tozawa on TV.
Yes. Yes, they barely got him on TV, but they got him on TV nonetheless.
Yeah. That just doesn't work for some people. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
No, Tozawa does not need that much time, I don't think so.
No, not really. So it's all right. Whatever happened to the 24/7 title? Did they? Oh, they threw it away, didn't they?
Yeah, they did officially retire that.
Okay, that's right. So that's, I was like, wait a minute.
Or literally throw it in the trash.
Back soon, right?
I think so.
Well, he should be healed by now, I think.
It's been a while since that fateful day in NXT.
Yeah, one move.
When he tried to. Act bigger than he,
act younger than his body's age.
Yeah.
Regardless of how great shape you're in.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of a something weak, so.
Yeah. Well, I talked about the Belltime beer, on my end early in the show here. Did you have something specific you were enjoying this evening?
Broke out the peach crumble cider from Red Clay. Peach, vanilla, and cinnamon. And it's really good. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I may have had that one recently. I can't remember.
They may be getting some more here in the mail soon, too. So I got a whole box ready to send you. I just keep forgetting to send it.
Yeah, okay.
So, and the way you're talking about how you're cleaning stuff out, I'm like, well, do you really need some more? But you also have somebody else that can Bogart some of these, too.
Possibly.
Yes. So.
We'll see.
So. If you'll let her have some.
No, I just does not drink much at home. That's all there is to it. Does tend to drink when we are out in a brewery, but at home, not so much. So, yep, just the way that it is. Okay, I'm at DeFrango11. That is Granny, at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google, or many other platforms. Have a good night, grandkids.
Yeah, real quick, a big congratulations to Mr. Steve Williams for his triumphant return to the ring and winning a battle royal. Later, kids.